Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning and happy to be here. I want to welcome visitors here too, welcome everyone here, and just a very nice Sunday morning to come to church, and I have been so blessed already with what I have heard and the singing. Brian, you've done a good job of leading singing this morning. People were singing good, and I would have been happy to keep on singing this morning. But I want to pray that God will bless the message too. I do have a message to share. And my message this morning is about pleasing God. The title of it is Pleasing God. And I have been thinking about this message for a little while, and thinking quite a bit about pleasing God and what it takes to please God. And I have been wondering, even in my own life, about this. And I think it's a good question for each of us to consider. What does it take for us to please God? What's the best way to please God? God created us so that we would please Him. And but since the fall of man, human nature has a very strong desire to please ourselves. And as I have been studying this message, I realize that in myself there are so many areas that I don't take time to ask the question or to understand if what I'm doing or what I'm saying pleases God or not. And I have been personally convicted to be more careful, to understand if my actions are pleasing God. I'd like to take a little bit of time right now to ask you, maybe from a number of you, I don't want to take too much time, but especially parents, I'd like to ask you parents, maybe some of you would be brave enough to say something about this or say what you think. But as you look at your children, as parents, young or old, I'd like to hear from several of you, what pleases you? What do your children do that please you? What makes your children please you? What do they do? What do they say? What is it that makes you feel really pleased about your children? And you got your youth might want to perk your ears up a little. But I'd like to hear what you have to say. I'd like to hear each of us here what we have to say about that. Is there anybody that would like to say something? Say it again, I'm sorry. Okay. Mom likes when they sing. Amen. I agree with that one a lot. Thank you for what you've been sharing. Is there anybody else yet? I don't want to.
I'm very pleased that my children do a job and put their heart into it. And they
Thank you for that. I'm agreeing with everything that's being said. It's just, I think it's just good for us to think about that a little bit as children and as parents. Because I realize that I believe there are many comparisons that can be made with our children pleasing us as parents and what we can do to please God. What my children do that pleases me is, of course, it pleases me if my children honor us as parents. Each parent has that desire. And we also are very pleased when we know that our children are saved, when our children are on their way to heaven, they're living a life in obedience to Christ. That pleases us too. It pleases us when, a little bit like Gene said, when they take on our convictions, our beliefs, and we have been able to teach them to do that. That pleases us too. And it disappoints us when we weren't able to get that point across very good. We as parents live in sorrow and sadness when our children don't do what we want them to do. And so I think there's that same relationship between us and God. When we don't please God, I believe that He has the same feelings about us as His children. So it pleases God when we as His children walk in His ways. That really makes God happy. And I want us to keep those thoughts in our mind as I share this morning. As I was thinking about this subject, or before I was thinking about this subject, I was actually thinking about speaking on temptation. But as I was starting to study about temptation, it occurred to me that, you know, if I have a desire to please God, a real desire to please God, that temptations are so much easier to resist. And so I vacated that subject and went to this one. You know, if you think about the man Joseph, young man Joseph in the Bible, how he was so tempted, and I believe it was a real temptation for him, but it was very hard for Joseph to sin, because he had a stronger desire to please God, I believe. And he did not want to commit adultery because he knew that would not please God. In Genesis 39, verse 9, it says this about it. Joseph said this when he resisted temptation to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. He says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee," speaking to Potiphar's wife, "because thou art his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So Joseph did not want to sin against God. And that is what we each need in our heart. That's what, and how do we get that into our hearts properly? I think that each of us have that in our hearts, but we all need it in our hearts more. We cannot get enough of that in our hearts. And so I'd like to answer the question a little bit this morning, although I'll take a long time in getting to answer this question. But how can we have a healthy desire to please God? And before I answer this, I'd like to maybe look at what the Bible says about pleasing God first. And I have scripture here, but I'm not going to ask you to turn with me to it. In Romans 8, verse 8, it says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so that is the complete opposite, of course. But that verse brings out the point very strongly, very clearly to us. If you are not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you cannot please God. Because only Jesus can redeem us from the carnality of the flesh. So it pleases God. Therefore, from that verse we take on that it pleases God for everyone to turn to Jesus, to come to Jesus. In Colossians 1, and I'm going to read out of the NIV version this morning because I like how it presents it better. The NIV version says in Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And then in verse 10, it says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." I feel these verses are really saying in a very strong way that we should give our very best effort to please God. You know, it says that we should please God in every way that we possibly can. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, and again, this is the NIV version. It says, "Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are already living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So this verse brings out that we should increase in how much we please the Lord. It says more and more. And then I would like to just share three steps. I'm going to call them steps this morning. What we must do to please God. And, you know, I think there are many more things than what I'm going to say this morning that we can do to please God. But I would like to keep it relatively simple. And I think the very first step that we as people make to please God, the very first step is by coming to Jesus for salvation. You know, in John 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So accepting Jesus and believing in him that he is the only way, that pleases God. And I believe that's the first step. That is the first step to please God. And then what I have for second is we please God next by remembering it is his grace, by his grace, that we can be saved. In Romans 3, verse 24, and I'm going to read several verses out of there, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So we cannot be saved, and we cannot do anything to please God outside of the grace of God. It is through the grace of God that we please God. It is by his grace that we please God, depending on his grace to save us and to give us strength to live a victorious life in a Christian life, to live a life that is complete in Christ. It's through that. It's through his saving grace, because Jesus is the one that is the justifier of all that believe on him. So as I look at this step, I think the thing that we do as people, all Christians, all over the world, after we are saved and we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, it can be so easy to forget that it is him who saved us. And we start going through the motions of being a Christian and are not remembering to come daily before the throne of grace in humility and repentance. We start taking everything for granted, and we start forgetting that we need Jesus in our life every day. We've already been saved, and we're living a Christian life. We're going through the motions. And I think it's good for us as a second step that really pleases God for us to humble ourselves daily, to be in coming to him in a consistent basis every day, every hour, that we do need him. We need his grace to move on and to be victorious in our lives. And I know in my own life that I struggle, that I'm doing everything right. That's good, but that's not what pleases God. He wants us to depend on him, depend on him fully to really please him. And now the third step, and I have a lot to share with the third step, because I think there's more meat involved with the third step. The foundation and the ongoing consistency is worth the first and second step. But the third step is where it becomes more to do with obedience. So we please God thirdly by doing our Christian works to please God as a result of our love for God. We obey God because we love him. In John 14, Jesus said it. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." It pleases God to see our actions. It pleases God to see us bear the cross. You know that many Christians come to the cross. And in many, many circles, it's taught so much that we come to the cross. We lay our life down at the cross. But there's not enough teaching about bearing the cross. And I believe that bearing the cross is an extra step that pleases Jesus even more, that actually has more effect on pleasing God when Christians are bearing the cross. And I don't think that, I know I don't look at that enough in my own life. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, he said it unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I feel many Christians, even in our own circles, we don't deny ourselves properly, and we fail to take up the cross and follow Jesus completely. Because it's hard to put down our flesh. No one wants to put down it. We don't want to. We are naturally carnal, and we have a much stronger desire to please ourselves than we do to please God. And as it relates to us in this church, I think we have room to grow in this area of denying ourselves too. And I'm not pointing my fingers. I'm looking at myself as much as anybody. I want to. But we need to bear the cross that Jesus bore. And, I see us in this church struggling with not bearing our cross properly, maybe in a number of reasons. But I feel we particularly struggle with accepting that we are Anabaptist people. One of the commentaries that was talking about this verse of denying ourselves brought out the point that bearing our cross is part of bearing our cross and accepting the cross is being willing to accept what Jesus asked of his disciples. And in a lot of times we want to be popular, or we need to be happy and willing to be unpopular in our faith by accepting the shame that Jesus bore and be okay while being misrepresented in your Christian walk, because many, many Christians are misrepresented. Remember the verse in where Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." And, I know that I feel in our church sometimes it's not popular to be an Anabaptist believer. We're not as popular as many other Christians are in the world. And I see that I struggle with this personally, because I look at other people who I think are Christians, and they seem to be more popular than what I have to offer. And I struggle with wanting people to think high of my Christian life, my Christian walk. And I find it hard to accept that Jesus said we should expect persecution, or that people might look at us strangely because our ladies wear the veiling, or that we don't believe in going to war. we don't go to the military because Jesus said we should not kill. But I find that hard sometimes, except that being non-resistant in many times is not understood correctly. And that's hard to take sometimes. I don't like that. But why do I care? I care because I want to be accepted by other people, other Christians, and other people in the world. I want to be a popular Christian. And I just like to not go too much more on that, but it pleases God for us to bear our cross. And I think that's some of what we need to recognize in our church here. By being obedient to the doctrines that are taught in the New Testament. Generally speaking, I feel it pleases God more to be a Christian the Anabaptist way than it does with the Protestant way. And that's really not mine to say, because I do want to be an Anabaptist. But I want to say it to you to encourage us to be okay with being an Anabaptist Christian. I also realize there are many Christians who are not Anabaptists who are really pleasing God. I know that. But in a general sense, I'm saying this. And I don't think that we have anything to be proud of as an Anabaptist Christian compared to other Christians who are not Anabaptist Christians. So this is not saying that being Anabaptist will save you. No. It's no way saying that. It's by grace we are saved. But Anabaptist people, I believe, are some of the most obedient Christians that are in the world. And obedience pleases God very much. And so I say that not in a factual thing. I say that not in that it's this way or this is the way it has to be. I'm saying that to encourage you to realize that as Anabaptist Christians, we don't always have the most popular thing in the world, but I think that we have something that we should be thankful for, and we should not be embarrassed of it. It pleases God if we're content to be pilgrim and strangers in this world. And, you know, if we want to be an Anabaptist Christians, then our actions should be that of a Christian Anabaptist, and we should look like a Christian Anabaptist. And so I would like to move on a little more now, too, and bring this even a little more practical. I would like to make this third point more practical by reminding us of how obedience is connected with pleasing God, a little more clear way, maybe. So our obedience is directly connected to how much we love God and therefore connected to our eternal outcome. Everyone would agree with that. What we do with God and Jesus in this life is connected with heaven or hell in eternity. And there are things in the world that are easy for us to know of which entity they are connected to, but in these days that we are living in, there are a lot of things that is hard for sure to know of which entity they are connected to exactly right away. And I believe it's even becoming more hard to know exactly where everything is connected to. If it's leading to heaven or leading to hell, there are so many things today that if you're not careful, you could be on the wrong track if you're not paying attention or if you're a little bit careless. Eternity is unknown of when it will come. We don't know exactly when eternity will come to us because we don't know when Jesus will return. And that causes us to be subconsciously or to subconsciously start thinking that we have time on our side. It's hard for us to connect every choice to eternity properly. So I've used this illustration before, but this one always is very clear in my mind to make me think better, more seriously. But I like to think of it as if we could imagine that the door to heaven is there, and right beside it is the door that opens up into hell. They're right beside each other. They're very clear. There's no question to which each door would lead to. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. And every choice that we make would put us directly into one of those doors. And I think it's good for us to recognize that every decision we make does go in directly in one of those doors. And sometimes the unknown in between there doesn't allow us, or it allows us to not really care too much when we make the initial decision, because it's back too far in our mind, and it's not in our mind directly connected to that door. So I'd just like us to think of that a little more closely. We forget of time in between now and then, and when we will actually walk through those doors. And I think if we connect each of our actions in our choices to eternity, that will help us to please God more. It said, please God more and more. So the choices that we make that could lead away from God and heaven, in many times, they're not immediately walking away from God. Many times those choices are maybe they're going
a tiny bit away, but very, very hard, not directly away. And so if we could take those times when we don't, we know that they might be a little bit astray, but if we'd follow that path a little bit astray, not too much, if we could always take that path completely to the end, you would know where it goes. And I think it's good for us to do that if we want to please God more and more, that we need to take those decisions and connect them to the very end, even if they seem not that far off at first. Most of the time it happens gradually, and it's not completely clear at first. It's hard for us to see sometimes where it leads in the finish. And it's also, I guess I'd like to be a little more, be a little more specific on how this could happen. How we treat people, how we treat other people with kindness or not kindness. And I'll just look at my own life a little. It's easier to say it better if I admit my own fault. And, you know, if I don't need somebody, if I don't think that someone can help me, or I don't think that they're an okay person, so I don't always treat that person as kind as I treat somebody that I need or that I care about. And I don't think that's the right way to look at it. You know, kindness is not about who. Kindness is about what. And that's just one example. You know, we pick and choose a little bit like that. The movies we watch. And the one thing that bothers me on movies that we watch is you can watch a movie where they take the Lord's name in vain. And there are many scriptures in the Bible where that's directly wrong. But you might think, well, it's a movie. I'm not really doing it. I'm not agreeing to it. But I think that disappoints God. In my mind, that disappoints God worse when you're watching a movie and they do something like that, take the Lord's name in vain, or they sin, because you cannot say to them, you cannot witness to that person that that's wrong, you can't stand up for Jesus. All you can do is sit there and watch it and disappoint Jesus. If you're out in the world and you see someone take the name, hear someone take the name, Lord's name in vain, or you see sin, you have the opportunity to stand up for Jesus. But when you watch a movie like that, you think that it's easy for us to think that it's only just a little stray. I'm not really partaking of that, but we are. That's what we're doing, and we're not pleasing God. So I'm just using these as specific things. In music, music today, I know that there's quite a bit of music that doesn't have a bad message. The lyrics are not bad. And it might not even have a bad beat. It might be okay music normally. But if that's all you listen to, that is all you listen to, that is your full diet, that does not lead to heaven. So I'm not saying to you that is dead wrong for you to listen to that kind of music. I'm just saying, where does it lead to? And if that is your only diet, you need to have something good in your diet to listen to in music. What you read, the friends that we choose, many friends that we choose are, we choose friends because they're fun. We choose friends because they make us feel good, because they bring out the exciting things in our life. But we need to choose friends because they're good for us. They lift us up. They build us up. They lead us in the right way. They help us. They strengthen us. And they'll stand by us when we're down and help us in those times. How we treat our spouses. You know, how I treat my wife, how you treat your husband. Those eventually lead to one of those doors. And I know that there is forgiveness and repentance in between now and then. I'm not trying to say that you cannot repent and be forgiven. I don't want to leave that impression at all. I'm just saying that if you would keep down that road the way you treat your spouse and never ask for apologies and forgiveness and ask God to change, eventually that will lead there. How we dress. We should be, you know, over all these things, I think we should also be honest about our motives. You know, remember, eventually, all things lead to eternity. And all things are for sure connected to our final home. So we just really want to look at those things and see how in all of those decisions and all those things we decide to do or don't do, that we are trying to please God more and more. So in the practical sense of all these issues are connected to whether we are pleasing God or not. And, you know, I believe if each of us is open to God about our lives, we can know what pleases him or not. We know what we can do to please God. It's not something, even though I said it's hard sometimes, I think in the bottom of our minds, in the bottom of our heart, each of us knows what we can do to please God best and how to do it more. So moving now on to the beginning question that we were trying to answer at the very beginning, how can we have this healthy desire to please God? How can we have an emotional desire to please God? Or can we have an emotional desire to please God? Is it just an impassive thing? Is it just that we have no feeling about pleasing God? We just do it. We're just going to do it. You know, I think that when we first come to the Lord, many times it is a rational decision made from the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. We make the decision to give our hearts to Jesus because we are scared of eternity in hell, and we're not excited, but at the same time, we're not excited about giving up of ourselves, our selfishness. We don't want to really submit to God, but because of a common sense decision that we know and we believe in God, we believe what he says, that if we don't give our lives to him, that we will go to hell, that causes us to make that initial decisions. But I think there are many Christians that struggle in their Christian life because they feel like they have to be a Christian. They do all the things to please God because it's the right thing to do. And they have only made a common sense decision to serve God. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. And when we are in that state, we're in a state where, in our Christian lives, where we're saved, but we struggle because we don't love God like we really should. We're not emotionally involved with Jesus. And I'm not saying that if you love Jesus correctly that you'll come to a place where you won't be tempted anymore. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we struggle harder than we need to sometimes because our faith is too much based on the fear of the Lord part of our faith. You know, making a decision to give our heart to Jesus in a common sense way, I believe that's very good because it's a sign that you believe God correctly. And I like that. But it is also good to be attached to Jesus in a passionate sense because that makes you more loyal to Jesus. And I believe that's what Joseph had. I believe Joseph had that when Potiphar's wife came to him and asked him to sin. He had that passionate sense that he did not want to sin against God. And how did he get it? I think the reason Joseph felt this loyalty to please God was because he experienced God's love, and he knew it. He knew how much God was with him and helped him during those hard, hard times. He knew how God helped him to forgive. He knew it wasn't on his own, and he trusted God for that. And through all that, he cared about God more. He loved God more because of all that. He went through that. He experienced it. And I feel it's that way for us today, too. When we, for us to have a strong desire to please God, we need to ask God to help us to understand correctly what all he's done for us. He's done a lot for us. When we go through the hard times and when we experience the fire of testing in our lives is when we have opportunity to experience Jesus more in our lives. and to love him better and trust him more. There is another way that I would like to speak about a little bit yet of how we can grow our desire to please Jesus. And I'd like to read from Matthew 18. You don't need to turn with me. I'm going to read several verses. At the same time came the disciples on to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." You know, a little child has a strong desire to please their parents. And a little child here, you know, their dad and their mom, their dad, a lot of times, a little child will look up their dad as a hero. They look at their parents in a very respectful way, a little child does. And a little child wants to idolize his parents. In a sense, they worship him. As adults, you know, if we can do that same thing, if we can humble ourselves and exalt God, become as little children in our relationship to God, this will automatically give us a desire to please God. Be like a little children when we talk to God, when we pray, and worship him, adore him, lift him up in all of your life by the things you do and say, by the choices you make. Become as a little child, humble before God. So in closing this morning, there are only three points that I really wanted to remind us of. And the first point that I was hoping to, that would stick with us, you know, you cannot please God without Jesus. So many people are trying to please God, but are not accepting Jesus. To please God, you have to have Jesus in your heart. The second thing that I wanted to get across this morning, would like to leave with us, pleasing God because you love him is a major key to having victory in your life. Pleasing God because you are told to is not enough. If you want to be victorious and be able to stand against the trickeries of the devil, you need to please God because you love him. You care for him. And then lastly, pleasing God is not so much about how other people perceive us, but simply obeying all the New Testament doctrines and being willing to be identified with Jesus and his doctrines in a voluntarily and willing way. Don't be doing all these things because we have to do them. Do them because we want to please Jesus. We want to please God. So I hope that I didn't want any of this message to be critical. I hope it was kind, and I hope it was good for us all to have. It has been good for me to study and to write these things down for my own heart in my own life, and I want to do better too. I'll leave it open for a little time for someone.